This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salamu alayhi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa man wala, thumma amma ba'd, to proceed. So this is our second session here on Qawaid al-Fiqhiyyah, or the coherence of Sharia, legal maxims according to the Hanbali madhab, or legal maxims with Hanbali applications and others. If you remember last time we talked, we didn't cover much last time because it was the first class. But we tried to cover the introduction. When I went home, I regretted the fact that I didn't give you a bird's view of the book because that should be part of the introduction. Did I? No, I didn't. So basically what I talked about last time is why we chose Al-Qawaid Al-Fiqhiyyah, benefits of learning Al-Qawaid Al-Fiqhiyyah for the beginners and the intermediate level. And everybody will get something different from this class, whether they are, you know, beginners, intermediate, or advanced. And I also you know, talked a little bit about, you know, my methodology in teaching this particular class, but I have not really told you about the structure of the book, which I should have. So I will do this today, inshallah. Here is the structure of the book. The book is four sections. The book on Maqaad al-Faqhiyya is four sections. The first section is al-Tamhidi. It's basically an introductory, preliminary introductory section. And the first section is where we will discuss the 10 principles that should be discussed when you introduce any particular field of knowledge or any particular discipline to people for the first time. That will be discussed in the first section, and I will come back to it. So we will have four different sections. And if we go from left to right, I guess, this is English, I guess. So we'll go from left to right. So al-Bab al-Tamhidi is the first. So it's introductory. And then the second one will be Al-Qa'ad al-Faqhiyya al-Kulliyya al-Kubra. So we did talk briefly about Al-Qa'ad al-Faqhiyya al-Kulliyya al-Kubra. These are the grand legal maxims, the grand universal maxims, or the grand legal maxims. And we said that they are five, and then they have basically branches. And the five, we said, الأمور بمقاصدها, these are by are but by their intentions, or judged by their intentions. And we said, you know, اليقين لا يزول بالشك, certainty is not overruled by doubt. We said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, should be no harm or reciprocation of harm. We said, المشقة تجلب بالتيسير, which means hardship begets ease or concessions. And we said, العادة محكمة, customs are given consideration. These are, you know, and I was very keen on mentioning these in the first class, because they'll give you some tasawwur, some conceptualization of what this science is about and what we will be discussing in the science. Each of them will have branches. So these are called the grand, al-qawaid al-faqhiyya al-kulliyya, qawaid al-faqhiyya, and we will come to the definition very shortly, inshallah, so we will explain what al-qawa'id al-faqhiyya and al-kulliyya and al-kubra means. But these are called the grand legal maxims. So the second section of the book will be about the grand legal maxims, the five and their branches, the five and their branches. The third section of the book will be about the independent legal maxims. And I did mention a couple of examples of independent legal maxims. At-taba', for instance, the secondary is secondary. So when you have secondary clauses in a contract, they basically take the assume the ruling of the primary or the subject matter of the contract. They don't have an independent ruling for them, and then they have branches also. This at-taba' would have branches. And the al-i'mal awla min al-i'mal, which is basically to employ every part of the speech, is given precedence over neglecting any part of the speech. There are other qawaid fiqhiyya that we cannot fit neatly under one of the five. So they're called independent because they cannot be organized under the five grand legal maxims. So they are kulliyya, and some people call them sughra, the minor. I said I would refrain from calling them minor because they're really not minor in any way. They're great legal maxims, but they were not, the grand title was not conferred on them. You know, the kubra title was not conferred on them. So that would be ghayr al-kubra. This is the only way I can express this. Ghayr al-kubra. Which will be other than the grand. The grand, okay. Ghayr al-Kubra. And then you will have the last section in this book will be called Al-Dawabit al-Faqhiyya. And we will come to the distinction between Al-Dawabit wal-Qawa'id. Al-Dawabit will be the regulators. And briefly, a dawabit will be qawa'id fiqhiyya that are specific to specific chapters or to certain chapters. So if you have a qa'ida fiqhiyya, the scope of its operation is limited to one chapter, you don't call this qa'ida. Qa'ida has basically to cross the borders between chapters. It has to be liyaqin la yazul bishak, or certainty is not overruled by doubt. Does it cross? It crosses all the borders. You can apply this anywhere in fiqh. But if you have a qa'ida that is limited to one particular chapter, or a dabit that is limited to one particular chapter, whether it is, I said that I would consider, although it would be controversial, كل قرض جرى نفعا فهو ربا, I would consider it a regulator, a dabit, not a qa'ida, which means every loan that will accrue a benefit for the creditor is riba. Why am I considering this a regulator? Because it is limited in scope. Like you can't apply this in al-ibadat, or you can't apply this in marriage. You can't. So it is limited in scope within a particular chapter, so it would be called dhabit or a regulator. That is basically the structure, that's the bird's view of the book. And by doing this, if we finish, inshallah, I hope that we do, then we will have covered to a great extent the subject of al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. And I did tell you that the applications will be heavily hambali, and if you're not, then you should take these qawa'id, because most of them are agreed upon, and you should find applications in your madhab if you have another one. So last time, we were just about to start al-bab al-tamhidi. Last time we were just about to start al-bab al-tamhidi. Which has basically the introductory principles that we talked about. إنما بادئ كل علم عشرة الحد والموضوع ثم الثمرة نسبته وفضله والواضع الاسم الاستمداد حكم الشارع والبعض بالبعض اكتفى ومن دار الجميع حاز الشرفة. So we said there are 10, and then we'll translate all of them. But how do I intend to cover the 10 when you receive the following documents? Just because the 10 are not organized in the same order of these verses. And certainly you should not limit yourself. Poetry has limitations. And we should be people of substance, not form. Formalities and forms are not as important as substance. So poetry has limitations. Certainly I would not organize the introductory chapter in the same order that was mentioned in the verses, because in poetry you have to basically pay attention to the meter, but when you organize a book you have to pay attention to the logical order of the subjects. So here is how these will be discussed. The 10 will be discussed in this way. We will first start by at-ta'rif wal-mawdu'a. And under at-ta'rif wal-mawdu'a, at-ta'rif would be definition. Al-mawdu'a is what? Subject matter. Under al-ta'rif wal-mawdu'a, we will talk about, you know, this in the same, this is awwalan. This is, so I divided this into 5 sections. The first one is al-ta'rif wal-mawdu'a and al-furuq. Al-furuq, which we will come to, that these are the distinctions between legal maxims and other related sciences. And when we say other related sciences, which part of the 10 principles are we discussing here? Relationship, nisbatuhu, its relationship to other sciences. So we will talk, when we talk about al-furuq, distinctions between legal maxims and usuli maxims, you know, principles of jurisprudence, or the science of al-furuq, the science of distinctions, the science of, al-ashbah wal-nazair, the science of al-nazariyat al-fiqhiyya, legal theories, the difference between the qaida and the madrak and al-mudrak or madrak, as most of the fuqaha call it, and so on. So here in one, we would have covered the three of the 10 elements of these introductory principles. Number two that we will cover when it, you know, here will be al-istimdad, right? We will cover al-istimdad as number two. No, I'm sorry. I think we will cover al-aqsam wal-masail because that comes next after al-aqsam wal-masail. Al-aqsam basically would be divisions. Al-masail, the topics of the science. The topics of the science, but this is basically not addressing the topics individually, but a bird's view of the divisions and the topics of the science will be discussed in number two. Number three will be a discussion of al-istimdad, and al-istimdad, of course, you know, comes right out of the 10 principles. It's called al-istimdad. Al-ism al-istimdad hukm al-shara. Al-ism, we will not discuss the al-ism. Al-ism is the name of the topic. So this will, you know, that's what we are talking about all the time. So we will not discuss the al-ism or the name of the topic, even though the definition will be a discussion of the name anyway. Al-istimdad means what? The sources of this science. Where do we deduce the science from, or where do we bring the science from? And then four will be al-zuhur wa tatawur. Al-zuhur is what? Emergence, so the beginnings. Beginnings of the science, at the tatawur would be development or progress. Development. I'll get used to it. It's my first time using this type of thing. So beginnings and development. So where is this when it comes to the 10 principles? Al-wada, you know, nisbatuhu wa fadluhu al-wada. Al-wada, the founder. So founding will be discussed here. And finally, number five, we will discuss multiple things in number five because they are interrelated. We will discuss al-thamara, the benefit of learning this knowledge. We will discuss al-hujjiyyah al-qaad al-fiqhiyyah, which is not included in the 10 principles. That is the proof value of al-qawaad al-fiqhiyyah. The proof value of al-qawaad al-fiqhiyyah. And we will discuss al-hukm, the hukm of learning al-qawaad al-fiqhiyyah, and that is one of the 10 principles. So al-thamara is one of the 10 principles, al-hukm is one of the 10 principles, that's the benefit, and the ruling of learning it. We say, إِنَّمَا بَدَيْكُ لِعَلْمَ الْعَشَرَةِ نِسْبَتُ وَفَضْلُ وَالْوَضَعُ عَلِسْمُ الْإِسْتِمْدَادُ حُكْمُ الشَّارَعُ حُكْمُ الشَّارَعُ is, you know, the ruling of the legislator when it comes to learning it. So five will be al-thamara, that is the fruit or benefit of learning the science, al-hujjiyya, the proof value, because it's part of the thamara. You want to know how you will be able to use al-qawaad al-fiqhiyya. Are you going to be able to use al-qawaad al-fiqhiyya to deduce rulings? Will you be able to use al-qawaad al-fiqhiyya as evidence? Will you be able to use al-qawaad? Can you bring a qaida and use it as evidence? And we will discuss what they said about this. And then al-hukm. Basically, do you have to learn al-qawaad al-fiqhiyya? Does everybody here have to learn al-qawaad al-fiqhiyya? Does every Muslim have to learn qawaad al-fiqhiyya? This will be discussed under al-hukm. So have we covered the 10 here? We should have. We said al-ism, that's what we were talking about all the time. So al-ism will not be discussed. So we need to come up with 9. Okay, where are the 9? The definition? subject matter, the relationships with other sciences, المسائل, four, الاستمداد, five, that's the sources, the founder, six, ثمرة, the fruit or the benefit, seven, الحكم, eight. We're missing one. Where is it? فضله. فضله will be, like I said, this will be where we discuss الثمرة, the benefit. We will discuss the فضل of the knowledge or the virtue of this knowledge when we discuss the benefit and its proved value and its حكم. So all of these are interrelated. So this will be discussed here. So that is how we will cover all 10 principles, inshallah. Okay. Then, so we said that we should start by tarif, the definition and the subject matter. We want to introduce the science, certainly we should start by tarif. And we will talk about القواعد الفقهية, what this definition means. القواعد الفقهية. Okay. Last time we wasted a lot of time talking about definitions as part of the science of logic. We didn't waste the time, but some may think it was wasted because it's not directly related to this particular discipline. But last time we talked about definitions as basically in Aristotelian logic, definitions would be necessary for conceptualization. In the Taimian critique of Aristotelian logic, definitions are neither necessary nor sufficient for conceptualization, but they are important distinction to distinguish one thing from another. Because when you say, like, the human is a rational animal, that would not give you a conceptualization unless you have seen a human being. You know, like, really, if you haven't seen a human being and you say the human is a rational animal, what is an animal? And what, you know, you need a definition for every element of these of this definition, and then you needed another definition for the breakdown and so on and so forth, and it will not result in conceptualization, so it is not sufficient. Is it necessary? No, it's not necessary. But it is important still, it is valuable still. Valuable for what? To distinguish one thing from another. So that is what tarif is about. And in order for a tarif to distinguish one thing from another, what have we, basically, you know, the scholars of Islam, what have we required in a definition? We require in the definition to be jami', mani', muttarid, munakis. And we require zuhur, zahir. You know, so when you define something, when you say, what is the definition of asad? You say, ghadanfar, laist. Asad is clearer than the other names for the lion. So you don't use a sort of a more subtle name to this is called the nominal definition, when you define one word by another word. It's called nominal definition. So you don't define one thing by something that's more subtle than it. So it has to be clearer than the defined. The definition will have to make the defined clearer to the listener. Okay? So this, we will not talk much about this because it's clear. But what is jami'? Jami' means what? Inclusive. What is mani'? Exclusive. What is muttarid? Universally applicable. Universally applicable. What is munakis? Reversible. Okay. So jama inclusive, what does that mean? It means that the definition would be inclusive of all that is defined by it. Like you will not find, so when we give a definition for a qa'ada fiqhiyya, no one can come and say, here is a qa'ada fiqhiyya, this definition does not apply to it. No one would be able to say this. It is inclusive, okay? Exclusive means what? No one will come and say, this is not a qa'ida fiqhiyya, this is not a legal maxim, but your definition still applies to it. Then we have not excluded everything that is not meant to be part of the defined, that is not meant to be part of the defined. How is muttarid and munakis? Muttarid means universally applicable. And munakis means reversible. Muttarid is like mana, and munakis is like jama. Muttarid, so whenever you find the definition, you find the defined. Whenever, you know, the definition exists, the defined exists, and this would be the opposite. So muttarid, universally applicable, will mean exclusive. Whenever you mention the definition, it will apply. It will apply, meaning it does not apply to anything that is not part of the defined, which means exclusive. Here, whenever you find the defined, you find the definition. Whenever you find the defined, you know, the definition will apply to it, which means that there will not be anything that is part of the defined that your definition does not apply to it. Therefore, it is inclusive. Just remember, muttarid, universally applicable, is like mana, and the munakis, reversible, is like jama or inclusive. Your definition needs to be inclusive, needs to be exclusive, needs to be universally applicable, needs to be reversible, and needs to be clearer than the defined. This is a good definition. Okay. So now let's define al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. So when they define al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya, and usually that is something they do, they start by a linguistic definition, and then they give a terminological definition. A linguistic definition followed by a terminological definition. And when they need to give a linguistic definition, if the name or you know the subject is given basically one lafz, that is one utterance, one word, then it's easy. You know, we just define this. But if it is like al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, qawa'id al-fiqhiyya is one word or two words. That's two words. So when they want to define something like this, they'll say this is murakkab, love the murakkab. Murakkab meaning compound or composite. In logical terminology, the word is composite versus simple. Simple versus composite. So they will say that this is love the murakkab to say what? To say, I need, therefore, to define each element of this, and then I can give you a definition of the tarkib in totality. But I will need to divide each element of this. Why do I need to define each element in this? Because what kind of murakkab is this love? Okay, so maybe we'll go on a tangent here. I'll come back, but we'll do it. Because this is helpful. The concept of mufrad and murakkab. Mufrad is what? Simple. Murakkab is what? Like I said, composite or compound. This concept applies in different disciplines and it has different applications and different conceptions in the different disciplines. So have, for instance, the discipline of linguistics, or for us it's Nahu. You have the different, you have the discipline of logic or mantiq, and you have the discipline of philosophy, particularly philosophy of metaphysics, philosophy of metaphysics, or theosophy, theosophy, philosophy of metaphysics. So these are three different disciplines. Mufrad and Murakkab apply, you know, they have different conceptions in these disciplines. In linguistics, because we care in linguistics about the utterances, the words, here we care about concepts and mafahim, conceptions and logic. So in linguistics, a lafd al murakkab would be, so let me tell you this. When you say Ghulam Zaid, this is the common example they give. But since we're in a Hanbali, okay, do it Hanbali way. Ghulam al-Khallal. Ghulam al-Khallal. Ghulam al-Khallal, al-Khallal's boy. Al-Khallal Abu Bakr, you know, al-Khallal, the person who basically brought together all of the sciences of Imam Ahmad in his jama, encyclopedia, or, you know, the large book. His boy, his servant, Abu Bakr Abdul Aziz, his servant was called Ghulam al-Khallal because he's always around al-Khallal. So they called him Ghulam al-Khallal, or al-Khallal's boy, or al-Khallal's servant. He is actually a student, and he is, you know, and in fact, the Zahabi said, no one in the Hanbali madhab was great, came close to Ahmad except al-Khallal, and after al-Khallal, Abu Bakr Abdul Aziz, his student, called Ghulam al-Khallal. Okay, Ghulam al-Khallal is simple or composite? Composite? Yes, it is composite. Composite until, you know, and in linguistics it will be composite. But when we study linguistic significations in logic, so we have two mabahath in logic. One is linguistic significations, and the other one is mabahath al-tasawwurat, conceptualization. So when you study linguistic significations, in logic, these are called mabahath dalalat al-alfaz. And this is al-tasawwurat, conceptualization. Okay, Ghulam al-Khallal, here in this study, in these chapters, linguistic significations, is it composite or simple? Composite. When does it become simple? When it becomes like a proper name, it becomes simple. When you say Abdullah, the servant of Allah, composite or simple? Composite. Does it become simple? Yes, if it becomes a name. Does it become simple when it's a proper name? Huh? Because it refers, yes, because لا يدل جزء اللفظ على جزء المعنى. So the difference here in this particular discipline between simple and composite, simple, part of the expression refers to part of the meaning. No, part of the expression refers to any part of the meaning. That is, لا يدل جزء لفظه على جزء معناه. So no part of the expression refers, like when you say Zaid, Zayed. Okay. This is part of it. Al-Zay is part of it. Does it indicate part of the meaning? No. When you say Abdullah, part of the expression indicates part of the meaning? Yes. Servant of Allah. When this becomes the alam, like a proper name, Abdullah may not be praying to begin with. Right? Unfortunately. But, you know, there are many people called Abdullah and they don't pray. And they don't worship God and they have nothing to do with God. So in this case, does every part of the expression refer to part of the meaning? Or do these two parts of the expression refer to parts of the meaning? They don't. It's just a proper name. In this case, it would be simple or composite? Simple, not composite. Okay, so this is in linguistic signification. What about conceptualizations, tasawwurat, conceptualizations or tasawwurat? Abdullah, is it simple or composite?
Simple.
Simple. Never composite. You know, because, in a sulam, al-allama al-akhdari rahimahullah said, idraku mufradin, tasawuran ulim, wa darku nisbatin bitasdiqin wasim. Idraku mufrad, to recognize here mufrad means what? Objective thought. In the discipline of conceptualization, mufrad is not a word, it's an objective thought. Is this one objective thought? Yes. Idraku mufradin tasawuran ulim is known as a conceptualization. You know, when you recognize a thought, that is known as conceptualization. Wadarku nisbin bitasdiqin wasim. And when you recognize a relationship between two things, two categories, when you recognize a relationship between two categories, that is called what? Tasdiqat or assertions. Assertions or tasdiqat. So in this particular discipline, the simple versus the composite is it one objective thought? Yes. If it is one objective thought, that is amenable to believing or denying. Can you believe this or deny it? Can you believe Zayd or deny it? What do you mean? What? Believe what? When you say Zaydun qa'im, Zaydun is standing, now you can believe something or deny it. Then now we can believe something or deny it. And then in philosophy, I'm not going to go there because I'm not coming back if I go there. but this is the why in Aristotelian logic God has to be radically simple, and there should not be any composition, because you would need a composer, and that is why they said that God cannot have any qualities, has to be radically simple, and we can refute this, you know, all the time. But anyway, plus? Really? Here? Oh, interesting. So we will not go there. So now this al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyyah, qawa'id al-fiqhiyyah, mufrad or murakkab, simple or composite. What type of composition? There are two types of composition. There is one type of composition which called the tam and naqis, complete and incomplete. The composition that is called the tam is where you can just, it's a jumla mufida. You know, it's basically a statement that will be sufficient, that will be complete. You don't need to say anything more. And the jumla al-mufida can be two types, declarative and imperative. Imperative, we don't care about it. It doesn't matter to us here or in logic. We're talking about the declarative. So declarative and imperative, khabariya and insha'iyya. Declarative is khabariya, imperative is insha'iyya. When I say you hold this pen, What is this? Imperative or declarative? Insha'iyya or khabariyya? Insha'iyya, imperative. Is this subject to believing and or denying? No, it's not. So, and don't care about any qadiyya or preposition that is not subject to believing or denying. It's just a command, just an imperative statement. So we will not need to deal with this here. Now you have the declarative statement. The declarative statement has to be complete. When I say to you, okay, so I meet Abu Ayyub and I tell him Muhammad hasaballah. And then he says, what about him? And I say, the one who lives in Patterson. And he says, so what about him? He went to Medina. Now he says, okay, thank you. You've basically shared the benefit with me. He went to Medina. When I said the ones who lives in Patterson, what is that? Okay, is this tarkib Muhammad Hasaballah the Pattersoni? Is this tarkib, or he's not, but is this tarkib? Tarkib, okay. But is it helpful? No, it doesn't. It's helpful in one sense. So okay, tarkib here. This is a composite statement here. It's certainly incomplete. I have to basically say, so what? What is wrong with him, or what about him? So when you say, so a tarkib here would be two types: qualifying, aside from. Al-Isnadi, which is the predicative statement that will be complete, that will share some benefit. Went to Medina, predicative statement. Came back from Hajj, predicative statement. Now you have told me something, that I can learn, that I may be able to say, no, I don't believe you. He didn't go to Medina. He didn't come back from Hajj. He never went to Hajj. I can say that. Or I believe you. Yes, he went to Medina. So this will be isnadi, predicative statement. But if it is not a predicative statement, then it can be taqyidi or ghair taqyidi. Ghair taqyidi. Whatever. Non-qualifying. When I say fil bayt, and just say fil bayt, this is composite or simple? Composite. Taqyidi, qualifying, no, not. In the house, when I say to you, Muhammad al-Madani, okay, this is qualifying or not? Qualifying. Because I restricted, basically, your thoughts about, which Muhammad to Muhammad al-Madani. Muhammad al-Madani is different from Muhammad al-Makki. There could be more than one Muhammad in Medina that are called Muhammad al-Madani, but is it still qualifying? It's still qualifying. It's still qualifying. So what type of qualification is that? So when you have qualifications, you have, or al-murakkab that is qualifying, al-murakkab al-taqyidi could be idafi and wasfi. Idafi or wasfi. Idafi, this is basically the genitive composition. Genitive composition. And wasfi, this would be descriptive composition. القواعد الفقهية genitive composition or descriptive composition. الفقهية is صفة or مضاف إليه. صفة. صفة للقواعد. So it is descriptive composition. It is وصفي. It's تقييدي. Qualifying. And the type of it is wasfi. How can we make it genitive composition? You say qawa'id al-fiqh, yes. Qawa'id al-fiqh. Qawa'id al-fiqh would be the principles of fiqh, the maxims of fiqh. Maxims of fiqh. Is this a genitive composition? It is a genitive composition. Now, القواعد الفقهية is فقهي maxims. In both cases, they are qualifying. And in this is why المركب التقييدي, the qualifying composite statement, you have to break it down in your definition so that you could figure out what each part of it means. And then you can conceptualize the intention in its entirety. Okay, so here we have القواعد الفقهية. Then we will need to define القواعد, and then we will need to define الفقهية. القواعد is the plural of قاعدة, which means I'm going to have to, speed up a little bit. قواعد is plural of القاعدة. So قاعدة means in Arabic foundation. The foundation of a building, قاعدة. ويرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت. And remember when Ibrahim was raising the qawa'id, or the foundations of the house, or establishing, building the foundation of the house. The foundations of al-Ka'bah, asas al-Ka'bah, the foundation of al-Ka'bah, the pillars upon which the structure is established. So that is the definition of al-qawa'id in the language. Al-fiqhiyya, everybody knows al-fiqhiyya. Now, if you want to define al-qa'ida terminologically, al-fiqh in the language means al-fahm, understanding, comprehension. But al-fiqh for the istilah, we will come to it. If you want to define al-qa'ida terminologically, what would you call it? Okay, so it is qadiyya kulliyya or amrun kulliyya. The exact definition that is supplied here is قضية كلية منطبقة على جميع جزئياتها. So القضية الكلية تنطبق على جميع جزئياتها. قضية كلية منطبقة على جميع جزئياتها. It's a universal principle or proposition. Because, these are heavily influenced by, the definitions are heavily influenced by logic. So it's a universal proposition that applies to all of its particulars. Universal. Qadiyya means a proposition. Kulliyya means what? Universal. Universal is basically the opposite of juz'iyya, right? Juz'iyya means particular. And the difference between the particular and the universal is the universal لا يمنع الاشتراك. There are different members in this category, different members that share in the same category. When you say asad, lion, different members share in this category. When you say Muhammad, meaning this Muhammad, this is juz'iyya, particular. No, this is not true. No members share in this category. It is a particular, category. So here it is قضية كلية, universal proposition. تنطبق على جميع جزئياتها. تنطبق على جميع جزئياتها. Applies to all of its particulars. And that is why it is called قاعدة. It is a principle. It applies to all the particulars. اليقين لا يزول بالشك. You know, certainty is not overruled by doubt, will apply to many, many, many particulars. So I hope that this is clear. Now, so if you want to define fiqh, how do you define fiqh? Terminologically. الأحكام العملية المكتسبة من أدلتها التفصيلية. الأحكام العملية المكتسبة من أدلتها التفصيلية. All of this is in the document I shared with you. الأحكام العملية الشرعية. Okay. الشرعية. So rulings. العملية practical. شرعية شرعي مكتسبة would be deduced from أدلتها evidences. It's a count word, by the way. In modern English it's not a count word, but it is a count word. You could say evidences. التفصيلية detailed. So الفقه is, فقه is when you give one of five categories, or in the Hanafi madhab, seven categories or seven values to every human action. Every human action will belong to one of five categories. What are they? الوجوب, الاستحباب, الإباحة, الكراهة, التحريم. Obligation, recommendation, or preference, permissibility, karaha, discouragement, tahrim, complete prohibition. These are five legal values. About giving one of these five to every human action. If you're scratching, what is that? Halal, haram, what is it? It's permissible. Okay, so it is permissible to scratch. Anything, just imagine anything, any human action, any action of the accountable entity will basically be given one of these. Is this suffocating? Because the default for us is permissibility. The default for us is permissibility. When it comes to customs, when it comes to things that are not ibadat, the default for us is permissibility. So there is no suffocation here. Okay, so you got the definition of an al-qa'id, you got the definition of al-fiqh. Now, let's define the al-qa'id al-fiqhiyya. If we got the definition of both al-qa'id and al-fiqh in this composite term, final qa'id al-fiqhiyya. So this definition is chosen by Sheikh Sa'ad al-Shathri. He says, حُكْمٌ كُلَّيٌ فِقْهِيٌ يَنْطَبِقُ عَلَى جُزْئِيَاتْ عَدِيدَ مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُخْتَلِفَةٍ. A universal fiqhi, legal ruling, that applies to numerous particulars from various chapters. حُكْمٌ كُلَّيٌ فِقْهِيٌ. Okay, so it is a ruling. You could say قضية, because sometimes they say a قضية and sometimes they say a حكم. You could say a قضية, a proposition or a ruling, but he preferred the ruling because they are rulings. So it's a ruling. كلي means universal. So that distinguishes between قواعد الفقهية and فقه. Fiqh rulings are particular. قواعد الفقهية are universal. Fiqhi, that distinguishes القواعد الفقهية from القواعد الأصولية and other types of قواعد. So it pertains to fiqh. ينطبق applies على جزئياته, it's particular, many جزئيات متعددة, many particulars, that's important. من أبواب مختلفة, from different chapters, or various chapters. So here, you basically excluded what? Fiqh itself, because it's not universal. Here you excluded what? Other sciences that have qawa'ad, qawa'ad of other sciences, qawa'ad of al-usul, qawa'ad of other sciences. Here, juz'iyat yantabiq applies to many particulars from different chapters. You're excluding what? The regulators, al-dawabit. You're excluding al-dawabit, the regulators that will apply only within one chapter, that have narrower scope of operation. And here, if you use this definition, and this is where we want to come back to the beginning of this, we said jama', mana', muttarid, mun'akis, zahir. Is it inclusive, exclusive, muttarid, universally applicable, mun'akis, reversible, and clear? So now we challenge ourselves. Come up with something that, you know, will be under this definition that is not qa'ida fiqhiyya. Is it inclusive? Does it include all the qawa'id? Yes, it does include it. This is a good definition. This is a jama' mana' muttarid mun'akis definition. This is inclusive of all al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, exclusive of everything that is not qa'ida fiqhiyya. So al-qa'ida al-usuliyya will be excluded by this. Al-fiqh, the rulings of fiqh will be excluded by this. Al-dabit al-fiqh will be excluded by this, various chapters. So this is a good definition. This is a good definition. And I'm just going to do a tatbiq, one tatbiq, and we will end with this one tatbiq. So, al-yaqeen la yazul بالشك. Certainty not overruled by doubt. How do you like English from right to left? Okay. Certainty is not overruled by doubt. Apply the definition. Is it hukm? Is this a ruling? Yes, it's a ruling, of course. Can you say yes or no to this? Yes, you could believe or deny. It's a qadiyya, it's a proposition, it's a ruling here. You're basically attributing like one category to another category. Mm-hmm. All right. Hukm, is it kulli? Kulli, universal? Of course. You know, it doesn't get any more universal. You will find the applications for this in marriage, in divorce, in financial transactions, in ibadat. We give the example of if you have wudu and you forget if you broke your wudu or not. Do you have wudu? Yes, you have wudu, because you know the certainty was that you had wudu at one point and you're not sure if you broke it or not. If someone is unsure whether he divorced his wife or not, obsessive people pay attention to this. You know, there are so many people who have OCD, particularly, you know, here. So if someone is unsure whether they divorced their wife or not, is she divorced? Why? Because the nikah thabat biyaqeen, la yurfa bishak, nikah was established through certainty. Marriage was established through certainty, will not be overruled by doubt. And, you know, in financial transactions, we apply this all the time. In qada, we apply this judiciary, and etc. So kulli, of course kulli. Fiqhi, of course fiqhi. Why is it fiqhi? Why is it fiqhi? Because what is the subject matter of fiqh? Af'al al-mukallafin, the actions of the accountable individuals. What do we mean by subject matter? We'll just cover this subject matter thing because it's coming next. What do we mean by the subject matter of a science? What is the subject matter of medicine? Huh? Human body. Because that's what the science basically investigates. That's what the science studies and investigates, the human body and the different conditions of the human body and so on. What is fiqh attempting to do? Find the ruling for every human action. What is the subject matter of fiqh? Mawdu' ilm al-fiqh. Human actions. Because that's what we're examining, to find the ruling for each and every one of them. Is this a fiqhi? Yes. Because this is how you're looking at it. You're looking at it from this perspective, from the perspective of being a fiqhi maxim. Can one thing be a fiqhi maxim and an usuli maxim? We will come to this when we discuss the distinction between fiqh and usul. But so far, we have established that this is hukm, it's kulli, and it is fiqhi. ينطبق على جزئيات متعددة. Does it apply to the, you know, multiple particulars in various chapters? Yes, we have shown that. The definition applies to this, and this would be a good application to keep in mind. And I guess, inshallah, we will start next time to discuss the distinctions between qawaid al-fiqhiyya and, you know, let me give you a quick summary for next time, inshallah, so that you go back and study. We will need, you know, since Imam Abu al-Abbas ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that the most important part of the definition is to distinguish between two concepts, it is very befitting to include right after the definition distinctions, because that is what we need the definition for. And we will not have complete conceptualization of the distinctions unless we actually show the distinctions. So distinctions will be with what? First thing, al-qawaid al-usuliyya, because there is overlap and sometimes confusion. Al-usuliyya is usul al-fiqh, okay? Or the legal principles of jurisprudence. Then al-qawaid al-maqasidiyya. Al-maqasid are the objectives of sharia. Al-maqasid are the objectives of sharia. So the principles of maqasid, or the objectives of sharia. Then al-nazariyat al-fiqhiyya. These are the legal theories. Legal theories. Then al-furuq al-fiqhiyya. These are the distinctions. Then al-ashbah al-nazair. How did we translate it as well? Nazar. Nazar would be analogs, al ashbah, resemblances, similarities and analogs, huh? Similarities or something. Yeah, similarities and analogs. And then al madarik. أو المدرك. Pronunciation is المدرك. Most of the people say المدرك. But the people of, you know, linguists say it should be المدرك. This is where you get your ruling from, and we will come to this discussion. And then eventually, or lastly, or finally, الضوابط. If you sort out القواعد الفقهية from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, you have really come to a very good understanding of القواعد الفقهية, and you would have come to a great, you know, when we discuss the differences between these القواعد الفقهية and these 7 different topics, would have come to a very good understanding of the science of fiqh and related sciences as well. قل قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم. We will take a 15-minute break and we will come back for الأدب المفرد إن شاء الله.